toe, bouncing with that drop. KCP in the middle, bounce, Larry.
Get out of that double team.
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Does anybody know how to post videos?
Welcome back in to the Drop Step Podcast, episode 49. I want to say thanks to the fine folks at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Shaq Fu Radio. Old Dean Brandon Leak. We got the B-Dog, Brandon Harper. We got Houston, and we got Book the Hook as we talk NBA and Atlanta Hawks basketball this episode. Where should the Hawks be right now with Game 66 on the horizon? We'll get to that. Lloyd Pierce, is he getting a fair shake, or is he the guy who is not the right man for the job? We'll get to that. Steve Koonin says the NBA should start at a different time. We'll see if that makes sense and if we all agree or disagree. And we'll start off with LeBron James. Who should he be worried about? The way he looked over the weekend, it looks like the Lakers, when they need to turn it on, they can turn it on. What do you guys think about who he should be most worried or concerned about? The Clippers, PG-13, Kawhi Leonard, or getting to the finals with the Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Well, first off, I want to say we back after 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
We all busy, you know.
Yeah.
So if anybody was wondering where we were, we're back. But, you know, it's a lot of things we got going on around the station. But we're back. Anyway, we talked about this a little bit before we got on the mic. I really think, first off, the Laker weekend was absolutely amazing. I'm pretty sure the sun was shining all in California. You know, the sun was even shining here, you know. I'm just saying. you know, we ain't had no sunshine in a minute. It's been rainy and dreary for, like, the last couple months. But the Lakers are much more concerned with Kawhi Leonard and the L.A. Clippers. You don't worry about Giannis and the Bucks unless you know you're meeting up with them in the finals. Matter of fact, I told Book this the other day. If the Lakers go 1-1 this weekend, let them lose to the Bucks, but you beat the Clippers, because you don't need somebody in your own house sitting up there saying, hey, we 3-0 against y'all. We making moves to beat y'all. Y'all making moves to beat us, and y'all still can't beat us. We're still a deeper team. We're still a better team. You don't need to be hearing that in your own house, with your banners up there and everything like that. You don't need to hear that from the folk down the hall. Whereas with the Bucks, they had a whole nother conference. You don't see them unless you're in the finals. So you got to be more concerned with Kawhi and the Clippers.
If you're really going to – to me, I break it down in a different way, because it's two totally different conversations. If I'm worried about the Clippers, it's because, yes, that's the hometown. You know, that's the rivalry right there in the same building, all that. Kawhi Leonard is coming for the crown, not only for the crown of L.A., but for – he's trying to come for LeBron's crown as far as in the league. But then you've got this guy. So I get that. And so, yeah, finals wise, I'm worried about the Clippers, because they will be the main thing that will stop us from getting to our goals. But I also look at the other side of it, where as far as LeBron and what he's thinking about legacy, that MVP trophy means something to him, I believe. Like, if it didn't mean as much to him, then I don't think he would be going back and forth or whatever with
Giannis. Well, he's a competitor.
What's that?
He's a competitor.
Okay, but he's a competitor at all times, but you don't hear him going back and forth or doing things that might slight the next man over, unless it's two people, Giannis and Kawhi. So to me, I'm saying he has both of them in his eyes on each conference, but for two totally different reasons. And I think that his level of priority is actually probably equal for both, but for, like I said, two totally different reasons.
Hey, man, if he worried about Giannis right now, he's going to get ran over by that Clipper train. Like, he better keep his eyes on the opponent that he has to see. It don't matter how the playoffs shake out. I don't see a scenario where – I can kind of see a scenario where the Nuggets mess some stuff up, but that's far few in between. But the Clippers and the Lakers will see each other in the finals.
But taking care of the Clipper train or the Clipper portion of it actually helps you to take care of the Giannis and the MVP discussion as well.
Not necessarily, because that'll be – I mean, they'll have voted on MVP by then playoffs get started.
But you say, like, I'm going to worry more about them. No, well, still, I'm not going to worry about them until the playoffs. We still got the regular season to finish up. I only got to play them one more time, and I know that that game could actually get me the more votes that I need for that MVP. It might be a side trophy, but I do want that trophy.
But we're speaking as though LeBron really cares as much about this fifth MVP trophy as you say he does. I don't think he does.
I think he does. He's already come out and said the ghost, that ghost has been there the whole time. It, just because he did not say he wasn't admitting that earlier on in his career, he has in his later years that is a thing for him. So in order to actually pass that goat that everybody's talking about, MJ, there's certain things on the checklist that he's knocking off. More assists, more points. Hello, let's tie in MVPs because I'm more likely not going to beat him in MVPs, but that's something else to check off the list. He's trying to leave MJ with one thing only. You were undefeated in the finals. But everything else, I could come and say I smoked you in. I think that is part of the legacy for LeBron. And who's to say he can't do both at the same time? I could still look over here at Kawhi and say, okay, yeah, I see you, young bull. You coming? I got you too. And I can defeat both of y'all at the same time for this season. Now it is just for this season because I don't see LeBron being necessarily in the top of the MVP conversations moving forward.
Next year?
What shows you that?
No, I'm saying he'll be up there, but his chances – okay, no, let's just say numbers-wise. His chances of winning an MVP year in the next 2-3 years are lesser than if he go ahead and get it now.
I heard that 2-3 years ago.
It still reigns the same. He ain't won one. Your probability says that you have less of a chance each year that goes by as you're coming closer to retirement. I want to get it now.
But if I have a LeBron James that is – consistently every year for I don't know how long in the top three in NBA voting people, a LeBron James fall off ain't like a somebody else fall off.
I'm not saying it is.
So my thing is, even for me right now as a Laker fan, him getting the MVP is nice, cool, whatever, but you didn't come here for that. You came here to win a title. You came here to win multiple if you can. Laker fans don't care enough about you winning the MVP. If you win the MVP, cool. If you don't, cool. You still have an agenda and a goal at hand. And there are a couple of teams that you got to get through in order to accomplish that goal. And if you can't – imagine if he wins the MVP, but he don't win the title with this team.
That's exactly what he doesn't want because he would be considered in his own mind a failure. Because he's there to, first of all, he needs to hurry up and get up off of three titles so he can get to four.
Right.
That way he's just not with the folks that have three. He's right up there where Shaq and right up there where Tim Duncan are. And he kind of gets out of that just three title range if everybody's ring counting. But, yeah, if he wins MVP and the Lakers don't get to the finals, my goodness, or they don't win the finals, I don't think he's going to care all that much about winning MVP this year. I think he wants to be finals MVP.
There you go.
That means much more to him.
If I'm the Lakers, I almost hope that he doesn't win the MVP and takes that fuel into the playoffs.
I'm with it.
Honestly, because the MVP is – it's not – I don't think that was a goal of his coming into this season necessarily. Just like you said, it would be nice. Cool. If you get it, you get it. But I think he has his sights set on something else, which has brought him into – the MVP race.
And
I think it kind of just goes hand in hand.
And naturally, for the longest time, ever since he stepped foot in the league, the way that he plays the game and approaches the game, it just allows him to be in the MVP conversation anyway. Just the way that the style – he's a pass-first guy, the way he sets everybody up, the way that he makes everybody better, the way that he's done his entire career, it just naturally sets him up to be in the conversation every year anyway.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He could be the MVP. That being said, I don't think he's the MVP. I think Giannis is the MVP. The truth is, there is nobody that has an Anthony Davis with them. And that 1-2 punch, you know, even though LeBron's game has not fallen off, you have to give the man credit for keeping up his numbers. Unbelievable what he's able to do at his age. But the fact that you do have a guy on your team that a lot of people don't have, and Giannis certainly doesn't have his Batman, his Robin, like LeBron has his Robin. I still think unless something bad happens, and certainly if the Bucks make it to 70 wins or close to it, yeah, I think he's going to be MVP.
I'll say this, home team. Giannis has been absolutely amazing. This is the reason why I will say LeBron is the MVP. The Lakers are 20-0, I believe, when LeBron leads that team in scoring. When LeBron goes to the bench, the Lakers are in the negative, even with Anthony Davis on the floor. Why? Because you still have to create for Anthony Davis. As great as he is and as dominant as he is, who's the creator on the floor for that team when LeBron goes to the bench? Anthony Davis is cool. We say play through Anthony, and I get it. He still needs to be set up in order for him to be as effective as we know him to be. And the greatest setup man on that team is LeBron James. Matter of fact, they're just as good. They're better with LeBron on the floor with no AD than they are with AD on the floor and no LeBron.
It's hard when a man is averaging 26 points a game, 9 rebounds a game, hitting 50% of his shots from the floor, and he isn't LeBron James. Like, if that's the second option, that is something that Giannis, something that, you know, you can look at even, I don't know who the next best, Toronto. Nobody has what LeBron James has. And I think you can always look at a player having a good season. He's going to be on a good team with some good players. But I just think that what the Bucks have been able to do, and it should be a this season award, but a lot of times it becomes a what you haven't gotten yet award.
Yep.
And I think the way that the Bucks keep going up and they keep trending up and they keep doing better, and now it looks like they're on their way to the finals, I think that Giannis and the way that team has improved, I think he's going to end up edging him out.
So we're not going to do Giannis how we did LeBron for 8 seasons or whatever and knock him for the fact that he was in the least conference. We're not going to do that anymore. We're gonna make it seem like it's an even matchup. LeBron is over here in the West, where we just talked about who we got to face in the West, and we didn't even mention really 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Because the Rockets could still be
right,
a problem.
Right, because it still could be a problem all the way through the West. But, you know, think about it. Giannis, he's still in the East, and really I'm only scared of Miami, Boston.
Yeah, it's 2 teams.
Those are the only 2 teams I'm really scared of. I'm not even really thinking about Toronto like that. Not in the 7-game series.
Because Boston not a problem. They're an issue.
It's a tough call, man. I think up until this weekend, I had Giannis in the lead just based on what he's been able to do for that team. That team is, like, yeah, they're on the road to 70 Ws, you know, and that's incredible. And I think that's the only reason that he is in the conversation for back-to-back. Because we can look at the trends. The NBA has shied away from giving back-to-back MVPs. Like, they do want some type of, you know, parity when they're giving out these awards. You know, after this weekend, after seeing what LeBron was able to do, I give him the slight edge at this point. We can have a conversation in the next couple of weeks, but I think it's going to come down to the last week of the season, honestly, between these two.
It definitely will. We still got, what, LeBron and them still have, I think,
21
games left, and Giannis has 18, even though he's going to miss, like, what, the next week
maybe
or two weeks?
Yeah, right. That sprained knee.
So, and that's something else we got to factor in. He's about to miss some time.
Yeah.
Miss some games.
But I will say,
and LeBron's still powering through.
That team, even though it's a small sample size, that Milwaukee team is above 500 even with out of
even
the
lineup. Even though they just lost to Phoenix last night.
Yeah, but that's the first time they've lost back-to-back games all season.
Hey, Coach Bud,
he's going to be coach of the year again.
Again.
Or the second time, but it's been a while since they had. It's been a big gap between the last time they lost back.
That'll be 3, right?
That would be 3. One with the Hawks. He already has one with the Bucks. He's doing a fantastic job. Yeah. They have, you know, 68 wins.
Oh,
we've been throwing the beard out.
Let me tell you who the unsung hero for that team is. And I saw him firsthand last year when he was in a Laker uniform.
Which
Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
He, I think last year or year before, he set the record for, like, he had 181 threes, which was one of the records for a big man.
Yeah.
His ability to be on the floor and to spread the floor the way that he does, along with Giannis, along with Middleton, man, that's something serious.
Mm. Can you name me any, and we'll jump off the top, but can you name me any player that Coach Bud has ever had under him that he has not gotten more from? more. Like, whatever you're expected to give me, I'm going to get more. Exactly. Even when, even down to Giannis Antetokounmpo, he got more out of him.
Yeah, I think that's the sign of a good coach. When great, even when he was here, coach. I think he got the most out of Taurean Prince and
absolutely.
Dennis Schroeder. And now in Milwaukee, he's getting everything he can out of Middleton and maximizing Brooke Lopez. And, you know, certainly Giannis has continued to
go
up.
He made Paul Millsap an all-star,
made
didn't he?
Made Millsap an all-star.
Look, yeah. Home team said that, but inside, he's swinging. He's swinging in the air.
I'm trying to let that go. Trying to let it go. My final point on that, I think LeBron would probably be more concerned about Kawhi because Kawhi has been there before. He knows how to win. He knows how to win series. He knows how to win a championship. The one thing, Giannis, he might have that hunger, but he still hasn't done it yet. So I think he has to be more concerned because I think there is going to be a showdown between the Clippers and the Lakers, and we're going to find out, you know, which team has the better star and which team had the better offseason acquisitions.
And that could be more – and that could get better ratings than the NBA Finals.
Could be. It really could be because I don't think Milwaukee is going to be a big draw, as big of a draw as you could have, you know, without having another star. You know, if Kevin Durant were back with the Nets going up against LeBron, that might get the numbers you're looking for. But you're right, that could be bigger numbers than the NBA Finals.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports Set. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Set on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.
Speaking of that, Steve Koonin wants the NBA Finals to start later and everything to start later. He thinks the NBA should stop trying to compete with football, stop starting the season while the football season is underway, and just move it back a couple of months and move the championship back a couple of months, which will still not interfere with football. I think that makes sense. I think when you talk about maximizing the eyes, because the eyes that watch your product really aren't all in until college football is done anyway, which is early part of December. And then NFL football is still, you have teams making the push for the playoffs. You're not getting folks in the buildings and folks watching your product until after Christmas Day. Why not start the season a couple of months later?
I applaud Steve Koonin. I really do. I think this makes a lot of sense. And I know that the NBA has probably – they probably touched on this a little bit in the past, but for him to bring this up again to them and then possibly consider this, I really think – perfect. Because get out of the NFL's way if you can. Maximize your opportunity to get all the ratings that you possibly can at the beginning of the season. If you kick this off, or tip this off, shall I say, in December, maybe the week before Christmas, or a week or 2 weeks before Christmas, you're getting – it's the back end of the NFL season. They're getting ready for the playoffs. You start your season right around the time where people want to watch anyway, around Christmas. You know, everybody opening their gifts. Okay, when the Lakers come on? Hey, when Zion coming on? When are these teams coming on that I can sit down and watch? And then on the back end, you're starting the finals in August. What else do you have to compete with? Baseball?
Right.
You want to talk about the ultimate background noise. Baseball is background noise.
Right.
Unless you go into a game, and even if you're at the game, man, give me my hot dog, give me my peanuts, give me my Coke. I'm finna walk around the stadium. I'm finna holler at a few folks, and I may catch a couple of innings, and then guess what? I'm getting out that stadium to beat the traffic.
Wow, that sounds like you've done that a few times at SunTrust Park, huh?
Truist Park. If you look up getting out of the game early, you look up in the dictionary, it's my big old face right next to it. I'm beating traffic. If I ain't doing nothing else, I'm beating traffic.
I agree, though. I like the fact that pushing it to August, you're out of the way of football basically completely, because the only thing left really is the final playoff push and the Super Bowl. You're not going to affect those numbers from the NFL either way it goes. So you push it back to Christmas, or like what BJ, one of the producers from the radio stations here, said, Black Friday.
Yeah.
So you get your football on Thanksgiving, you get those games, and then Black Friday, which ain't nobody going to work anyways, you get to load up on opening games for the NBA. I thought that was great. And then on the back end, on the summer, yeah, you only got baseball to compete with, and their all-star break is already passed, and they're not even hitting their stride coming into, what is it, the hunt for October?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's perfect.
Because you can compete with baseball if you're talking
There's
about,
no competition with baseball.
Right.
I'm sorry, though.
it's none. Because it's either, okay, am I going to watch baseball, which is still in the middle of its season, or I can watch the NBA Finals? I can watch a big time. It's really a no-brainer.
Yeah. This is – I really love this idea, and I think this idea gets done. Simply for the fact, if nothing else pushes this forward, it's going to mean more money for more advertisers and more revenue for the NBA. So I honestly – I think this gets done, and I don't know how soon it gets done, but – this would be the year to get it done because we're looking at the 2020 Olympics. So if we can get a later start on the season, then that means you're playing top-tier players in the Olympics. Then you get a rest after the Olympics, and then you don't have to pick up regular season NBA until December. I don't know that it gets done this season. But
that'd probably be a future thing.
It would fit very well with that mold. But again, I think it gets done at some point anyway, just because it's going to create more money. And a lot of those advertisers that are NBA and NFL advertisers, they would like the idea of them being separate, because then that means my money ain't overlapping. If that makes sense. You know, at that point, I'm not advertising in two sports that are current going on at the same time. Now I've got it more spread out. So I think this gets done without a doubt.
Plus, we see all these players playing with playing during the summer anyways a lot of times. So it's not like it's really affecting them whether they have the season pushed back or not. And I think it was Jay Rose said it earlier. Like, you pay me $25 million? Okay, I'm playing.
Yeah.
So then I don't think they're gonna complain about the fact of it being shifted at all.
No, I don't. I just see this working out perfectly.
I'm interested from a player perspective how they would see it.
Because I want to hear what they got to say.
I think that they would like it just because it gives them that much more exposure. They have the whole stage to themselves the entire time,
and they have July. Well, really, June. Well, I'd say July and August. If you're going to be having the finals in August, there's no football yet. So you're going to have your championship round and the latter rounds of the playoffs in a time where there's nothing but baseball going on. And really, those audiences aren't the same and don't cross over much anyway. So when you talk about having an opportunity for a primetime event to go on. Now, Adam Silver has come out and said that traditionally viewership in general, just people don't watch as much TV in August. That's something you might be stepping out on, but there's nothing really to watch August.
And that's my point. People don't relatively watch TV because
Nothing going on.
Right? You're telling me if I got an NBA Finals game on in August that I got something to watch now.
Yeah, because I'm not watching the baseball. I'm not watching soccer. Like that. And those are really the only two sports going on.
I'm at the beach or I'm at
the
movies.
Right.
Because movies come out in the summertime.
So let's get this done.
Yep.
I love this one.
All right. Is this man being brutalized by words in the media? Is this man being raked over the coals? Is this man being tormented and given an unfair shake at an opportunity and a dream of a lifetime? Or does he have work to do? Coach Lloyd Pierce for the Atlanta Hawks. Folks are already clamoring for Kenny Atkinson to come up and coach the Hawks. Folks are already saying he is not the guy and he needs to be moved out based on where the Hawks are 1 year and 65 games into a complete teardown, blow up, and rebuild. I stand with LP. I want to see how this thing is going to develop. I want to see how Travis Schlink improves this roster where they've spent no money in the last 2 years. Now that he has a summer where he could spend over $60 million, maybe $70 million in free agency.
How long will you stand with AP?
Travis Schlink LP. Said that this is a six-year process. Next year will be year three. And the first two have included the complete turnaround and blow up with youngsters. So next year, I'm looking to see the shift in the gear. I'm looking to see the arrows start to point up, and I'm looking to see the wins match some of the expectations moving forward next year. And I think next year is a fair enough timetable once that season is over to make a constructive and informed decision on LP.
And I, too, sir, stand with you. And
that's
Coach Lloyd Pierce.
We got two.
Because you got to give
man.
I don't think Clint Capella's not there. He's still hurt. And I think I want to see what Lloyd Pierce does with a completely healthy lineup.
And what if he's hurt next year? Who's to say Clint Capela won't have foot issues going
forward?
Then what
do you do, though?
Like, you get another center.
You should not have picked him up in the first place.
No, he'll be ready for next. If he's not going to play the rest of the day, he'll be ready
for
next
year. Yeah, I'm assuming he'll be
ready. He'll be ready. I don't think this is that bad of an injury to where he missed the beginning of next season. But I want to give Lloyd Pierce the opportunity to see what he can do with the health. I don't think anybody's owed anything. I think, look, you get the opportunity to get stuff if you're blessed to do so. But I really think we owe it to Lloyd Pierce to let him see what he can do with that full lineup. Why not? You got a young team. It's not like you're winning the championship next year anyway. You can make that next step. If he can get you to the playoffs, now what?
I'm right there in the middle. Because it's
starting
been
to trail off on that support.
It's been an unfair. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's damn near impossible to grade him on what's been going on. You know, since he's been here, he's had Trae Young's rookie year. John Collins getting suspended. Like, it's been something almost every single year. But when do you stop saying it's been something every single year? You know, eventually you do have to slap a grade on it. You know, and I'm right there in the middle. I think he comes back at the beginning of next year. I think the beginning of next year will be very telling on how long he's around. If they get off to a bad start next year, I give you to the All-Star break.
But I look at it like this. You know, we went into this season again. This is a young squad. You know, we don't intend to be good. We don't intend to do this, and we don't intend to do that. But as the season goes on, people's opinions change rapidly. And I'm wondering, like, wait. Keep that same energy. I know it's a long season, and I understand that it's frustrating. But realize that you also have to keep the same. You remember what you said, and what you said is actually what's transpiring out here on this court. It's going to be a long, tough season. Are we going to have spurts where they look really good and you can look to the future of what they're going to be? Absolutely. Are you going to have a lot of valleys where it's kind of like, is this a real basketball team that we put on this NBA floor? Yes, you're going to have a lot of that.
Let me let y'all into a secret. This is not going to be as long of a rebuild as is being broadcasted. This is not going to be a 6-year build. Because
I'm with you.
You want to know why? Because they contracts ain't 6 years. These players contract. Like, so you're not going to let these guys get to the end of their contract, walk out the door.
Right.
Some of these young boys will be packaged together.
That's right.
And moved.
That's right.
Which changes the timeline.
Well, my thing is, are we seeing what we're supposed to be seeing? And my question is, well, twofold. Are we seeing development and improvement?
Yes.
And say we are. Trae Young could end up getting votes or might be most improved player. I don't know. Kevin Huerter, he was a 10-point player. Now he's a 12-point player. He's improved. DeAndre Hunter, he looks a little bit better than he did when he first started. Cam Reddish.
Looks a lot better.
The guy he was at the start of the season, he's not the guy at the end of the season. John Collins, now a legit 20-10 guy. We've seen improvement, which is one of the fortes of the coach. We're not seeing the win-loss column show that, but we're seeing improvement. And so what I want to know is why we don't give the same leeway that we give the players to the coach. That's to say, Cam Reddish looks lost out there. He's young. He can't shoot. What do we say? Give him time. Trae Young, he turns the ball over too much, can't guard anybody. What do we say? Give him time. Let's let this thing breathe. How come that doesn't apply to the coach who's got these players and worse on the bench?
Because the coach is already a grown man, and even though he has not been a head coach before, you expect him to come with a little bit more, I guess, fortitude and prudence and reverence that he should be able to handle all of this. Now, I think that Lloyd Pierce has handled this extremely well to this point because, like I said, it's been something every turn of the way that you can't really judge him. But that keep that same energy, I can't stand that phrase because energy changes all the time. Like,
no,
that's
I just want people to be consistent.
No, because Trae uses that as his hashtag, keep that same energy. I was like, no, bro, you can't expect people to keep the same energy. We have an opinion of what we've seen from you. It's up to you to make it change. You want the support, so do what it takes to get the support. You have my support, so let's roll with it. But you only got so much time, and your contract says that as well.
Right, and I agree. But if you're coming into a situation knowing what it's about – and then get upset when what you already know transpires, that's when I have an issue with it.
What I didn't
know,
you know what
I
didn't
know, happen.
What I didn't know is that y'all couldn't give me effort every night. I didn't know that y'all couldn't do that. All right, so, yeah, I've seen progression in points. Okay, yeah, Cam Reddish, you've gotten better in points. You know, we're doing all right, but we're still losing to teams like Orlando. We're still losing to teams like Phoenix at times. We're losing to people that we shouldn't be. And we claim to be in on certain games.
But who's to say we shouldn't be?
That, and see, that's where I get a little bit upset. I think our expectations are a little bit out of whack. If the Hawks didn't have 19 wins and they lost out or missed out on missing the playoffs, would this season be a failure? I would say no. So we're not going to the playoffs. So it's not a failure. So the question is, are we all frustrated about some of these defensive lapses? We have to be. That being said, that's what happens to young teams, and this is an extremely young team when you look at who are getting the minutes and who are supposed to be winning the games.
I see another young boy over in New Orleans who came in halfway through the season, and he's pretty hype, and I see effort every play. I just want to see
he's
that.
I don't care.
But is that because of his coach?
Phenomenal. That comes from his mentality. And him and Cam Reddish, him and Cam Reddish were on the same team at Duke. So they came from the same pedigree of Coach K.
Yeah, but they're not the same player.
They don't have to be the same player. You could give me effort, is what I'm saying.
Are we saying that Cam doesn't give effort?
Huh?
Are we saying that Cam doesn't give
effort? I'm not saying Cam specifically. He was just an example for that. But as far as like, okay, he comes from the same type of mentality as a Zion as far as what you got coached in college, even if it was for 1 year. As a team, though, y'all take nights off. I don't get it. It's like you mentally check out. Not just plays, but nights.
But coming from
the coach feels like you feel. So, and everybody's saying he is supposed to be charged with making sure that not happens. And what I'm saying is,
That's a grown little boy right there. He going to do what he want when he step on that court.
Maybe you have the wrong mix of guys, because I don't think effort and I don't think toughness are things that just happen. You either give effort or you are tough, or you go acquire effort and you acquire tough. I don't think, Coach, and I think one of the worst things you could do to a team with 19 wins, that's the worst three-point shooting team in the league, that leads the league in turnovers, is scream and yell at them every time they have bad stretches in games. I don't think that's good coaching. My fear is what I've seen before. By the time this team matures, expectations will change, and then people will be screaming for a new coach who has a different Hawks team, and then we'll bring in a new coach, and LP won't get the shot to see this thing come all the way through to fruition.
They'll Tony Dungy him. They'll do a Tony Dungy.
When he was in Tampa?
Yeah. You know, and I think that is the writing on the wall for Coach Pierce. I hate for that to be the case, because I really do like the guy. I think he'll get another opportunity somewhere, maybe, especially if he does keep these guys progressing. It'll show that he does know how to develop players. But I don't think at the end of it all, where we want to be as far as in that conversation, I don't think they're going to allow him to finish and see it all the way through.
You know what I want to hear then, and I know I won't hear it? I want to hear somebody come out and say, you know what, this ain't on Coach Pierce. This on us.
This is players. A player needs to do that. Yes.
And not just a player. I want to hear from Trey. I want to hear from one of these young guys that we hold in such high regard, because you know why? I want to hear from your mouth that this ain't on Coach Pierce. He's not to blame. This is our fault that we are in this situation, and it's going to take us on that floor. He can draw up a play, but if we don't execute it the right way, if we're not in the right spot, that's on us.
But you do realize
the day that you hear a player come out and say that, then we've already got the writing on the walls, and Coach Pierce is almost out the door. If a player has to come out and say, yo, it's not on him, put it on us, that means there's already blame really being put too far on him, and he's almost out the door.
I would still like to hear it. I would definitely still like to hear it, because my thing is, I think a player's silence sometimes can be a whole lot more than a player's words. Because my thing is, if you're silent on something, that means, hey, if you want to blame Coach Pierce, I'm not going to stand in your way of doing it.
One thing that we got to keep in mind is the lack of veteran presence on this team. And they have, like, you took players like Torian Prince, Kent Bazemore, Justin Anderson, players not necessarily difference makers, but veterans, you know, just a presence about them that can affect the game. Those guys are not on this team anymore, and those minutes have been given to babies. You know, like, so it's kind of difficult to expect them to even reach the point that they reached last year. You know, just because we're running it back, but we're running it back with players that have never experienced this, you know. So a DeAndre Hunter, a Cam Reddish, these are young green boys, you know. So, like, next year, I just need to see some progression. That's all, you know. And I can take this with, you know, a grain of salt, you know, because we haven't moved forward. But starting next year, you know what to expect coming into an NBA season. So I want to see something that shows that.
I just think the man, Coach Pierce, doesn't have a whole lot to work with. And people keep throwing out generics. Well, you should be able to coach him up. You should be able to do this. You should. When you have 20, 21, and 22-year-old people, they have a lot to learn themselves. Mm-hmm. We'll have to learn how to be a pro. Learn how to know individually each night how to guard their certain man. Everybody has a move in the NBA. And the more you play, the more you figure out people's tendencies and how to get better. And it's one of those deals where I don't think we are at the point where we have vocal leaders. We don't have leaders on the floor. We don't have leaders off the bench. I think Vince Carter, his time has come and gone. And we need some tougher, grittier, grindy kind of guys who can also rebound, not turn the ball over, and make shots. And when we get that, we'll have a better team, we'll have a better bench, and I think we'll see some better coaching. That'll do it for the Drop Step Podcast, episode 49. We'll be back next time for B-Dog, for Book the Hook, and for Houston, I'm Home Team. We'll see you next time on the Drop Step Podcast.
We out.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on the YouTube channel for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.